Okay. All right, good morning to everyone on wine this morning. Welcome to church. Let me start by bringing a few words from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those who redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west and from the north and the south, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. That's what we do this morning. We come to give thanks to the Lord, to remember his goodness, to remember that he endures forever, and to give thanks to his name for his love to us. So we're going to do that this morning in song. Our first song this morning is Come People of the Risen King. If you're on the songbook, it's on page number 5, Come People of the Risen King.
Delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him. Where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell our battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease, but follow us through all our days with the certain full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that Christ through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, 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 rejoice,
All right, our first reading this morning, yes, but you can be seated, comes from 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 18, and Wendy's going to come and read it for us. Thanks, Wendy.
The glory of the new covenant. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses read, a veil covers their hearts, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. May God bless this reading from his holy word.
Thanks, Wendy. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for all of your goodness to us, all your blessings that you give us in Christ. We thank you that you are the glorious God, majestic and holy and awesome in splendor and majesty. Father, as we've read, we thank you that you are changing us day by day, that you are glorifying us as your people. Father, we know that we are not there yet, that every day you work away at us, changing us to be more like yourself. Heavenly Father, we do confess our failings and our shortcomings. Father, we do desire to live for you, but Father, so often we are overtaken by our hard self and, Father, also the things of this world. Father, we do give in to temptation far too easily. And so, Father, we pray that you might forgive us. Forgive us for the times where we left things undone, for the times we failed to complete the task that you have given us. Father, forgive us for chasing the things of this world and the things which do not last and do not give us satisfaction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ, our Saviour. We thank you that he is greater than Moses, that he is the new temple, the new tabernacle, that he is our high priest, our faithful high priest, who sacrificed himself for us, a perfect sacrifice, that we might be forgiven. And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Christ and what he has done for us. We thank you that we are undeserving of all your grace to us. And we praise you this day and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, some announcements for this week. So we're having men's Bible study on Thursday online at 7:30. So that's men's Bible study this week. Greenhouse is on for our young people from 7 to 8 on Friday as well. Session is on this Tuesday, 7:30 over in the hall. It's session for this week, session we'll meet. This Friday, Faye over in Henty is having a morning tea for the ladies. If anyone is interested, chance to catch up, chat, eat cake and all that sort of thing. So that's Faye Willis's place at 10 a.m. on the 10th. That's this Friday for the ladies. So just a reminder too that you can catch up online if you go to our website, all the talks and all that sort of stuff are up online as well. Okay. Yeah, can you just unmute some of the kids for us? We've got a couple of kids online this morning. Okay. All right, kids, we're just going to unmute you so you can hear us. Now, you've got to look at two things this morning. You've got to look at my big board here, and you've got to look up on the screen as well. Okay, so we've got two things going this morning. You know, kids talk. Okay, you're coming through. We can hear. All right. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to have a bit of a review of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles is the book that we've been working through. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask 6 questions, and the answer has been from our kids' talks that we've had over the last few weeks. And if you get the question right, then you get to pick one of the squares on my board that is covered, and we'll see if we can work out what the message is under the board. Okay? All right, so here's the first question. First question. Who is the first person mentioned in the book of 1 Chronicles? I've given you 4 answers. What do you reckon the answer is? Just yell it out. What do you reckon? A, B, C, or D? Anyone?
Adam.
Adam is correct. Yeah. All right, I'm going to take off one of these little bits of paper here. All right, let's go with question 2. What did King Saul fail to do? So A, seek after God, B, listen to God, C, obey God, or D, all of the above?
All of the above?
Yeah. All of the above is correct. So let me take off another. All right, question 3. God is king, plus God is strong, plus God is eternal, plus God is truth, equals God is
holy.
Do you need a hint? Do you need a hint? I'll give you a hint. Here's the hint. That's the name. There we go. Starts with P and ends in Y. Do you remember what the word was?
Praiseworthy.
Yeah, praiseworthy. Excellent. Okay, next one. Question 4. Another word for promise or agreement used frequently in the Bible and begins with the letter C is?
Covenant.
Covenant. Well done. Okay, so keep an eye on my board here. We're getting there. All right. Question 5. What is mercy? I'll give you a hint. Next one, please. Mercy is receiving something you
don't deserve. Something yes. you don't deserve.
Something you don't deserve. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, and one more. Whoa, we didn't fix that slide. How many verses in 1 Chronicles? A, 604, B, 942, C, 1096, D, 1512, or E, none of the above? We're going for E? I've heard A, B, C, D, and E. Which one do you want, A, B, C, D, or E?
E.
All of them? No, they're not all of them. None? No, no, E is not right. E is not the right answer. Try again. A, B, C, or D?
A, B, C, or D?
Yell out a letter.
Yell out a letter.
C.
C?
C? Not C. Not C.
A.
The answer is number B, 942. Okay, now have a look at my board here. Can you help me fill in the three phrases? You might have to do a bit of color matching here. Can you help us work out what's supposed to be on the board?
God is
to be. Yes, God is to
be. God is. Yeah, I will. I got some.
Okay, so God is to be worshipped. That's one of them. What about the other two? Can you fix those up for us?
God gives hope and joy.
Yes, yes, God gives hope and joy.
God is faithful. God is to be worshipped.
Hey, we've got it. We've got it. Here we go. God is to be worshipped. God gives hope and joy. And God is faithful. And that's the message of the whole book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles reminds us that God is the one that we worship. 1 Chronicles reminds us that God gives us hope and gives us joy. And 1 Chronicles reminds us that God is faithful. He always keeps his promises. That's the three key messages of the whole book of 1 Chronicles for us. All right, that's our kids talk. Thank you, kids, for your help this morning. I'm going to quickly pray for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do keep your promises, that you are faithful, that you give us hope and joy. And we pray that in response, you help us in worshiping you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to mute the kids, Amy. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to go on to our next song. So our next song is Standing on the Promises of God. It's a wonderful old hymn which reminds us of God's promises and the need to stand firm to them and to hold to them. So let's sing this together.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. That cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God.
Okay, let me lead us in our prayers of thanksgiving and praying for others. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning that in a world that just so constantly changes, Father, where there seems to be something new happening around us every day, we just thank you that your promises don't change. That, Father, you are like that cave that we can run to and just find rest and refuge and peace from everything that is happening in the world around us. Father, we do realize at this time that our world just seems so chaotic. Father, there's just so many different things happening, so many struggles, so many crises. But Father, we thank you that we know that all these do come from your hand. Father, that you have ordained these things from the beginning of time. And Father, you are using them for your own plans and for your own purposes. And so we pray for your people that we would just be able to stand still and to know that you alone are God, that you are in control of all things, that we are not in control of this world. But Father, that should not scare us. But Father, that you invite us to trust you and to put our faith and our confidence in you. Father, we pray for our world, particularly as it continues to battle this spread of the virus. Father, we pray for those who have been infected and Father, suffering. Father, we pray for governments right around the world, including our own. Father, as they try to implement a measured response. Father, give them the wisdom that they need. Father, we pray for those who are fearful of this virus, that you might speak into that fear. Father, and dispel it. And that people would know that you are sovereign over it. Father, we pray for all those, particularly in our local area, who were elected yesterday to positions of authority in our local area. Father, we pray that they might serve well, that Father, they wouldn't be led by popular opinion, but Father, justice and righteousness for all. Father, that you would help them, and we uphold them before you. May they realize that you have placed them there in this position of authority. And Father, we just pray for them. Father, we thank you for this time of the year. We thank you for harvest time. We thank you that fields are full of crop. And Father, we pray for the farmers, particularly that you keep them safe as they harvest their crop. We thank you for the rain that we've been having, for the season that we've had as well. And we thank you for this time of year of Christmas. We can remember the birth of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, what a wonderful opportunity it is to speak of Jesus, that he is our King, and we just pray for the spread of the gospel. Father, in a world that has been difficult for 2 years, Father, may that message of peace and joy cut through into every level of our society. Father, that people would indeed turn and repent and come and bow their knee to the Lord Jesus. Father, we realize Christmas brings lots of challenges as well. We pray particularly for those families that are broken. Father, those that, Father, are small and isolated. Father, for those in nursing homes and prisons and other places like that as well. Father, the vulnerable of our society. Father, we lift them up before you. Help us to do what we can to support them and to encourage them and to bring joy into their world through the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us, we pray. Continue to sustain us day by day. Give us more of your grace as we seek to love and serve you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we finish our series on 1 Chronicles. So we're looking at 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 30, and Rod's going to read that for us. Thanks, Rod.
Yes, the last chapter of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning at verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendour, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honour come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give thanks and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon a wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. The next day they made sacrifices to the Lord and presented burnt offerings to him: 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs, together with their drink offerings and other sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Then they acknowledged Solomon, son of David, as king a second time, anointing him before the Lord to be ruler and Zadok to be priest. So Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king in the place of his father David. He prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the officials, officers, and mighty men, as well as all of King David's sons, pledged their submission to King Solomon. The Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him royal splendor, such as no king over Israel had ever had before. David, son of Jesse, was king over all Israel. He ruled over Israel 40 years, 7 in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth and honour. His son Solomon succeeded him as king. As for the events of King David's reign, from beginning to end, they are written in the records of Samuel the seer, the records of Nathan the prophet, and the records of Gad the seer. Together with the details of his reign and power and circumstances that surrounded him and Israel and the kingdoms of all of the other lands. Praise God for his word.
Indeed, we praise God for his word. And let's pray that as we look at it this morning, Father, we do indeed praise you for your word, that you are a God who speaks. And thank you for the way that you've been speaking to us over these last few weeks. And we just pray that you'd help us to understand your word even better this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last 2 years, I've gone back to Bible college to do a couple of subjects which have interest to me. And the great thing is that COVID has actually made it really easy because everything becomes online. And that meant the assessments were essays, which I like. I'm not a big fan of exams. I like to sit and think about the topic, research it, craft something, rather than just have to recall things on the spot. So imagine my horror this year when one of the lecturers decided that online students should have an exam. Now, last time I did an exam for Bible college was way back in 2010. The lecturer explanation was that exams are helpful because they force you to take a step back and to get an overall picture and to see how the pieces all lock together rather than being assessed in a very narrow focused area. Now, of course, for the students, that meant we went looking for the summary aspects of each of the particular chapters. We couldn't take in everything in the subjects. So given it was an exegesis exam, we had to embed down key points from each chapter we were studying. Although, the truth be known, a lot of us did a study on only a few chapters, and then we played exam lotto and hoped that our chapters would come up in the exam. Now, today marks the last message in our series in 1 Chronicles. And we've made this journey over 17 weeks, which makes it quite a long one. And be assured, sometime next year, we will complete the journey through 2 Chronicles as well. In its original form, Chronicles, it was one long book, but that would mean that it'd be really one big long scroll. And so they had to split it into 2 scrolls, which is what we have today. But for now, I want us to actually reflect on our journey through 1 Chronicles. If this was an exam, and it's not, I want us to think about the key themes and the key lessons that we should actually take away. And just like with exam study, the place to find the summary is at the end of the book. 1 Chronicles 29 verses 10 to 30 does a great job of summarizing for us, and I think it's deliberately written that way by the writer as a summary. Now, when you first read this last section of chapter 29, it kind of has a feel of a doxology or a benediction about it. Doxology is a word which means a short hymn or a praise to God, and we certainly see that in verses 10 to 13. Benediction is a word which means a short blessing, which is why we usually end the service with the benediction. But this chapter does way more than that, as it reaffirms key themes we've seen over and over again in the book of Chronicles. It highlights 3 key themes that keep reoccurring throughout the book. And so this morning, I want to look briefly at each one of these 3 themes. Now, the first theme which we've seen over and over again is that God is the promise-keeping God. God keeps his promises. And we see that in our passage in verses 10 to 13, which is a prayer of David. Now, we've seen previous prayers by David. If you remember chapter 17, David prays in response to God's promises of the Lord building him a house. But here in chapter 29, after the people have given generously, David offers up a prayer of praise. And what a prayer it is. Let me read it. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you, you David prays. You're the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. What a prayer of praise that is. If you're looking for a model of prayer to praise God with, here it is. Look no further than what's here. If all our prayers started with that kind of focus of who God is, we'd be in much better shape. But did you notice the key word in the prayer? The word yours is used 5 times and the word you is used 4 times. This is a prayer about God. Despite all that David has done, and as important as it is the building of the temple, neither David nor the temple are prominent in this prayer. Instead, David's focus here is the attributes of God, that God is everlasting, that God is great and powerful and glorious and majestic, that God is king over all the earth, that God is powerful and strong. David here equates the kingdom of God with the entirety of the created order and acknowledges that temporal kingdoms on the earth only survive and only thrive if they concede that all power and strength and wealth belong to God. And that includes the kingdom David currently reigns over. It's only by God's grace that David can rule the kingdom God placed him in charge of well. And it's something that we pray regularly, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's also an encouragement to us that the God who possesses everything also freely gives as he chooses. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, says the psalmist, and God freely chooses to share with his creation. If we need anything, we turn to God, who is gracious enough to freely bless. Now, how does all this link in with the promises of God? Well, God's promises are grounded in actually who God is. Because God is gracious, because God is good, because God is strong, he can be trusted with the promises that he has made. All his promises are for the benefit of his creation and the glory of his name. As Paul says in Corinthians, all of God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus, King David's greatest son. Throughout Chronicles, God affirms his promises, which he made to his people through his character. The promise of an eternal house to David still stands. Exile hasn't changed that. God is faithful to his promises. As Christians, that's what we need to stand on, and that's what we hold to. Second thing we've seen over and over again in Chronicles is the importance of worship. Now, for the last few weeks, we've seen the extensive preparations that David has made for the temple, materials by the truckload, workers in abundance with a willing attitude. We've even seen lists of people who are going to make this temple operable. But the question we need to ask of why is the temple so important? Well, the temple which Solomon will build, and look at that in the first 2 chapters of 2 Chronicles, the temple becomes the center of the universe for mankind. It's the anchor point for a believing Israelite. The temple is where God's presence on earth is focused, which is why David wanted. He wants to bring up the Ark of the Covenant. And that's what Chronicles emphasizes again and again. The temple's more than a building. Rather, it's the focus of God's presence and the ministry and reconciliation and fellowship that it provided. So if you think about those who are sitting in exile, they're hearing about the temple, and that it brings back a way for them to God through forgiveness of their sins. Their sins is that's why they're in exile in the first place. But to hear that must have been refreshing. Now, worship was also an important part of temple life. Psalm 84:4 tells us, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. To go to the temple of the Lord and worship was a wonderful and joyful thing. And even though the temple had not yet been built, David could see the importance of worship, which is what he emphasizes in this little section. Have a look at verse 20. David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. Part of worship, it's knowledge who we are before God. David certainly knew his place before God, that the Lord was the creator and David was created by God in his grace and his goodness. David says in the first part of verse 14, who am I? It's the same response David used in response to God's wonderful promises made in chapter 17. That's why I think David also says in verse 15, we were aliens and strangers in your sight. As were all our forefathers, our days on earth were like a shadow without hope. The language here is one of journeying into the promised land. They had no rights or claim on the land. God was generous enough to keep his promises and give them the land. Despite their disobedience and hardness of heart, God wanted his people to have a heart for him. That's why David prays in verse 18, O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees and do everything to provide a palatial structure for which I have provided. A strong element of worship is obedience. It's listening to God, responding in the action that he requires of us. It's not just about singing, it's a heart which wants to honor God in every area of our life. It's a heart which is undivided, one that seeks after and desires God in everything we do. Neil Martin, he was a member of the British Parliament, and he was once giving a group of constituents a guided tour of the House of Parliament. And during the course of this visit, the group happened to meet Lord Hailsham, the Lord Chancellor, wearing all the regalia of his office. Hailsham recognised Martin among the group and cried, Neil! And not daring to question or disobey the command, the entire band of visitors fell promptly to their knees. That's what worship is about, having that respect and reverence for who God is. Remember what happened in 1 Chronicles 13 when David got that wrong? God's holiness is a powerful thing. It's not to be trifled with. Just ask Uzzah when you get to heaven. Thirdly, another key theme is one of joy and hope. When they brought back the Ark of the Covenant, they celebrated with joy. David's prayer in response of God's promises given to him in chapter 17 was one of joy. Last week, we saw joy and rejoicing at the way God's people gave to the work of the temple of the Lord. And in verse 21, we find another occasion which brought great joy. We're told that the next day they made sacrifices to the Lord and presented burnt offerings to him, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs, together with all their drink offerings and other sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Just think about that for a minute. Eating and drinking together in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. And what a wonderful thing it is for us to know that one day we too will enjoy feasting in the presence of the Lord. But notice too how worship and joy are linked together here. When we worship God together, it fills us with joy. Praising God for his greatness and majesty incites joy in God's people. Why? Because we celebrate the constant source of joy, which is God himself. One of the dangers from modern church is we get all this mixed up. Too many Christians today tend to value the experience of joy rather than the personal relationship with the God of joy. And our modern world, it wants us to pursue happiness in the form of instant emotional fixes. But all that does is it creates a fun society, but it bereft it of joy. For the Christian, joy is not a place or even so much an emotion, it's a person. The very person of God revealed in Jesus Christ. That's where true, long-lasting joy is found. So for those sitting in exile, it would be tempting to think that great joy could only be something of the past, that all they need to do is to long to go back to the glory days. But the chronicle is saying, no need for that. All you need to do is count your blessings, learn that whatever state you're in to be content, and recognize everyday events as bountiful goodness of the covenant-keeping God of your fathers. And that's a lesson we would do well to learn as well. So, three key themes there in 1 Chronicles. God is faithful. God is to be worshipped. God brings joy and hope. And that's where we're going to leave Chronicles for the moment. And the book ends, it ends with the acknowledgement of Solomon, son of David, as king, and he is anointed a second time. Verse 23 tells us that he prospered and all Israel obeyed him and God blessed him. We read in verse 25 that the Lord exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him royal splendor such no king over Israel had ever had before. And at that point, we read of David's death, which in fact we don't actually get many details about. Now, as people probably reflected on David's life at that time, they would have realized his mistakes. David made a few. But people could really only speak well of King David. It sounds like the kind of thing that happens at a funeral, except for one difference. There are actually things to look forward to here. Most funerals are lacking in hope and joy. People actually struggle to move forward. They say good things about the deceased and then leave them in the ground or send them off to be cremated. But here, that's not the case. There's so much to look forward to. There could be no better platform laid for Solomon to take over and continue. And so when we start 2 Chronicles, there's excitement and anticipation rather than worry and dread after the death of Israel's first king, King Saul. But all that excitement and anticipation in 2 Chronicles, it evaporates after Solomon, after the kingdom becomes divided. Both David and Solomon also never reached the perfection of kingship. But as Chronicles has shown us again and again, there's hope because one greater than David, one greater than Solomon, came to this earth. He fulfilled everything. He was the perfect king and the one who served his people by dying. The one who would crush his enemies, the enemy of sin and death, and not with a great army like King David, but through humbling himself on the cross. The one who becomes the new temple and offers life beyond the grave for all who believe in him. The hope that the chronicler offers, it's a shadow of the real and enduring hope we have as Christians in Christ our Saviour. And as all of the Old Testament does, the chronicler points us to Christ, who is so much greater and wonderful than King David and King Solomon. As I said at the start of this series, we need to cling to God's promises just as much as God's people today also need to cling to God's promises. And just as the exiles needed to cling to God's promises as well. God's promises are all in Christ. He's our hope and he's our confidence. To him be all glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ and we thank you that Chronicles points us in that direction. And Father, we pray that as each day we worship, that you would fill us with joy and hope in believing. Father, we would receive the comfort that only your promises can give us, that we would learn to trust them and to stand on them in this world. Father, we pray that we would not only be hearers of your word, but doers. So help us each day we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the things that we've been trying to do throughout this series is pick a psalm which matches the reading for the theme of the day in 1 Chronicles. And there's one psalm in particular that has really become like a sponsor psalm of 1 Chronicles, and that's Psalm 89. Psalm 89 sort of talks about King David and talks about King Solomon, talks about covenant, talks about God keeping his word and his promises. So it would be fitting to end our series on 1 Chronicles by singing Psalm 89 together. If you want to sing along, that's fine. If you just want to open up Psalm 89 and just follow along again, you're welcome to do that as well. But as we sing this and meditate on it, let me think about a number of the key themes that the writers of this song have drawn from the text of Psalm 89 to help us in our understanding of 1 Chronicles. Psalm 89.
I'll sing your love, your faithfulness make known. All generations shall be told your king is on the throne. Your covenant with David stands forever as your own. All praise from the angels on high. Wonderful God, for who can compare with the Lord? You rule the surging ocean tides and calm the crashing waves. You crush the dragons of the deep and sent them to their graves. So heaven and earth which you have made shall bless the God who saves. And praise from the north and the south, mountain and hill, your hand and your arm have prevailed. As righteousness and justice are foundations for your reign, as faithfulness and love march on and shall with you remain. So none who learn to walk with you will ever trust in vain. So praise be to God from his saints, people and prince, for you are their glory and strength. In visions once you spoke to us, my gift of strength I bring. My servant David I have found, anointed him as king. My hand will give him victory, my praises he will sing. Loud praise from the ends of the earth, enemies fall and rebels will perish and die. His hand I set above the sea, the rivers he shall guide. Calls me Father God, my rock, I called him to my side, appointing him as my firstborn, supremely glorified. I praise for the promise of God, covenant love, eternally true and secure. And if his sons forsake my law, despising my decrees, then I shall use my rod of power to bring them to their knees. Yet never shall I change my mind or break my guarantees. We praise for the throne that endures longer than time, more firm than the moon or the sun. But Lord, on your anointed one, come down. The covenant is set aside and fallen is the crown. His wars are lost, his walls destroyed, and gone is his renown. Our praise has been turned into shame, glory to grief. The days of his splendor are past. How long, O Lord, is it forever you have turned away? Empty are our lives that blossom for a day. Remember, Lord, your promised love for David's sake, we pray. Then praise be to God for his grace, keeping his word forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise be to God for his grace, keeping his word forever and ever. Amen.
I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David, my servant. I'll establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all the generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? The psalm ends with these words, praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Indeed, amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be back next week, same time. Online, we'll still be at 8:45. And thanks for joining us this morning. Go in peace.